So I decided to do a part two eventually. I mean, we're like, what, 10 or 11 episodes in, so I apologize, I haven't done it in advance, but this is my second part to our island series. So I'm going to, hopefully expand on a whole lot more islands, but this is ends up being the first one that we're going to do. Or the second one, I guess. So this is, and it's nowhere near as dark or sad as our first island. So it makes it so much more easier. We're going to go and explore into Pheasant Island. So we're going to leave that up to your imagination, and why don't you sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Historical Brotatoes is where weird and obscure events in history come back to life.
Now let's journey through time. All right, so Pheasant Island. It's the coolest thing in the world. I really hate the shadow. I apologize. Just fuck it, whatever. So Pheasant Island is this tiny little island. It's like 600 feet long by 135 feet. So that's the last measurement. Before that, it was when it first came about, this island was huge. And it sits in the Bedosa River. I'm probably saying that wrong. It's a river that kind of it comes in from the ocean and it divides France and Spain, and then it comes into Spain. And it like it doesn't go across the whole French and Spanish border. So it comes in off the ocean, and then right before the mountains, it comes down south and goes into Spain. But on this river is this nice little plump island that separates, the river. So it's funny because you look at, all sorts of different country maps, and it's either like a straight line, or it follows a river, or it, there's mountains or something geography wise that kind of translates like, hey, this is your country, this is my country. But France is one of the few countries, in Spain, I guess, along with it, is that it doesn't fall on one border side. So France and Spain both wanted the river. They refused to give up rights to the river. So then they split it down the middle. So it's one of the few countries that, they both have access to the same river under the guise of both countries. And so that right there is already like a red flag of weirdness that about the France and Spain border, especially because France and Spain have never really been friends. They've always, kind of hated each other, always gone to war with each other, always have border disputes. And granted, a big chunk of the mountain range kind of deters them. There's one spot on the far east side that, where Barcelona's at, where France and Spain can easily cross and fight each other. And that's where most of the warring happens. Because on the left side, you have a river, and then it goes into a huge mountain range. And then there's this flat plateau that at the bottom of France and the northern part of Spain, that's where most of their fighting began. And so, you're not really focused on the river too much, because, and granted, like it did say that sometimes, like during seasons, like the river would drain down so much that it would just be kind of like a flat little opening and stuff like that. So I don't know if they ever, kind of went across and whatnot. But Pheasant Island is this cool piece. It's one of the first islands that I looked at, but I wasn't 100% sure that that's what I wanted to do, like the whole island thing or not. So I was like, oh, I'll throw it in the basket. And maybe we'll hit it up later. But then it's just been growing. Every time I look at my list of like, what's the next one I want to do for us, it's just like Pheasant Island's like right there. I'm like, all right, you know what? This is time, because it's so interesting. Like at least to me, I think I've never learned about it. I've never heard about it. And the funniest part is, English speakers are more infatuated by Pheasant Island than France and Spain ever have been. So there's like a lot of people from England and the United States that are obsessed with this island. Granted, I never learned about it, and I don't know if you've ever heard about it or learned about it, but France and Spain, they like don't give two shits. Like there's they like you and like that's why I was reading some of these, these documents and going through it, and there's several travelers that come in from England, and they're asking directions to Pheasant Island, and French or Spanish, which normally they'll come in from France because they're bordered with France. And they're like, what's Pheasant Island? Like, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Like, no one even knows that this island's a thing. Like, it's not like a big deal to the French or to the Spanish. I mean, they also call it Constitution Island or Conference Island. There's several names for it. And actually, Pheasant Island is like a weird translation that the British fucked up or something, and that's it stuck. So they called it Pheasant Island. There's no pheasants on there. There's no no birds. It's just the British, I think, mistranslated the French, and that's where the Pheasant Island came from. But anyways, so it's this cool little island, and it's constantly shrinking just because of the erosion from the river and whatnot. But it is a condominium, which I didn't know this before researching, but do you know what a condominium is?
Yeah, it's like a place where people live, right?
So that's what I thought. Actually, the original term for condominium is a joint controlled piece of land. So,
Okay.
like for example, and this is what I've read
Oh,
about.
so condo, because like condos are partially owned by everybody, and that's why they're condominiums.
Yeah, I guess so.
That
Yeah. The more
makes
you know.
sense.
Because I guess when Oregon was like first established, the United States and Britain condominiumed that location. And so it's whenever there's border disputes, and like Samoa is a condominium of France, Spain, England, I think, and Germany. It's an island out in the middle of the ocean that's a condominium. And so Pheasant Island is the oldest and the longest running condominium in the world, which is really dope and cool. And the reason why it's a condominium is because in the first half of the year, Spain owns it. And then they do a trade over in July, and then France owns it. And so it flips back and forth between the two countries constantly. And so whoever owns it has to be on that island every 5 days to make sure that it's safe and secure. They have to hire their own grounds crew and whatnot to go out and trim the bushes, mow the grass, make sure it's all taken care of. So when it's in French's control, they take care of it. And when it's in Spain's control, Spain takes care of it. So they have to hire their own people, and they have to have guards on the island to make sure that it's, safe and whatnot. and so the reason being why this whole island's even a thought just cracks me up. So you have petty. You have super petty and you have like really petty, right? I would rank this on the really petty. So France and Spain had just gotten through the Franco-Spanish War, and it lasted about 24 years. And they're just, France would take a part of Spain would take a part of France, and then, they're just no one was winning. Like they would take a section to lose a section. It was just kind of a stalemate between the two. And so King Louis was like, hey, if you want to come up to Paris, we'll, sign an agreement saying that, we'll figure out our border disputes and we'll settle on who wants this and who wants that, and we'll figure it out and we'll take care of it. And King Philip was like, no, you come down to Madrid and we'll sign some paperwork and we'll get together and we'll figure out, who's, because really no one was winning. Like they were both winning. So it's like you couldn't really like force their hand, be like, come to Paris or come to Madrid. And so they the war continued for the sole fact that they could not get along enough to travel to the other one's country to sign the peace treaty. And so it didn't say who was the one that came up with the idea, but there was a few sources that said King Louis was the one that came up with the idea. But they went and they found there's someone that found this Pheasant Island, found this island, and they decided to draw a border right down the middle of it. So King Louis did not step into France or Spain, and King Philip did not step foot into France because they refused to cross the border with each other. So they drew a line, they put a table right in the middle of the line, so then they couldn't cross and they could negotiate back and forth. And so they sat there for over a year going back and forth to Pheasant Island, not crossing that border at all, to make the negotiations and in the conversation. And so I think that's like the utmost pettiness. And so they ended up coming up with the Treaty of Pyrenees in 1659, and that's where they, disputed their land grabs and whatnot. And King Louis actually, part of the bargain was it was taking King Philip's daughter as a wife, which is common because you always have other countries, their royalty marry, and so they, kind of establishes like a better relationship and a better, with the countries and whatnot. So they sat there. That was the last time that she saw her father. Went back to France. They married. They had, good time, whatever. And so, they had like a celebration kind of on Pheasant Island about the exchange of, marriage and whatnot there. And then they went back and whatnot. And so that was the establishment of what Pheasant Island was, or Constitution Island was, because the ultimate pettiness. And so they had another war. It was like a 30 years war. And at the conclusion of that, they went back to Pheasant Island, and they made a peace treaty there between France and Spain. And at that time, after that, they assembled this like monolith is what they call it. So it's just like a square, and it's got inscriptions on both sides, and it's got like a little hat, roof type deal, and it's just right in the center of Ireland. And it explains, the Pyrenees Treaty and how, the ceremony and the whole tradition of Pheasant Island. And so, that's all there. And the other interesting thing that happened, King Louis the 15th. So King Louis the 14th was the one that originally came up with everything, right? So he passed away, and so King Louis the 15th came into power. And so part of the deal with King Louis the 14th was that his son, King Louis the 15th, was going to marry, what was it, Marina of Spain. So it was his other, the king's other daughter in Spain. To keep the relationship up. Well, the prime minister at the time, it was like, like in Game of Thrones where like Joffrey's not old enough, so you have Cersei as the queen regent. So that's kind of the prime minister. The prime minister held on, even because King Louis the 15th was only 5 years old when his dad died. So he was king kind of by name only. And so the prime minister was like the king regent. So he was the one that was the actual king during, while he was up until his 13th birthday, then King Louis the 15th took over. But at that time, he hated Spain, and Poland had come in and kind of greased the prime minister's palms and was saying, hey, it's better to have a relationship with us than with Spain. So they met, they talked to the king, they were going to have the exchange, everything. And then they came back to France, the king's daughter. And then there was a death in the family of that would technically like make her not a queen. Like it, she like kind of fell out of royalty because of, I don't know, some Spanish shit. And so the prime minister saw that as an excuse and sent her back to Spain. It was like, nope, we're not going to deal with you. We're not going to have that marriage. And so then he ended up marrying, I think it was like Mariana of Poland, or not Mariana. That was the Spain one. My bad. He ended up marrying Maria Le Guazzini from Poland, and so they built that relationship all together. And so that was really like the last real big thing. There was one more thing that happened, but it wasn't. I mean, that was like the last like royalty type deal. The Treaty of Bayonne, which was another war that happened. They actually established, because it never, even in any of the other treaties, and even in like the treaties of Pyrenees, the only thing that was mentioned about Pheasant Island is that they met there. Nothing else, just that they met there. And so the Treaty of Bayonne actually said, we're dividing France, or we're dividing Pheasant Island, half France, half Spain. And then it was like 10 or 20, which was 200 years later. Like it was like way in the, like, it was like in, I think it was like 16. 1856. So originally it was signed in 1659, 1856. So close to 200 years. Later, the Treaty of Bayonne happened, where the French and Spanish was settling another border dispute, and so they, all it says in the treaty is that it was going to be split in half. And then overgrowth started happening. It was just kind of getting to shit. So then they're like trying to figure out like, what do we do? Like, who takes care of it? And these two Navy commanders, one was Spanish, one was French, came together and said, you know what? We're the Navy. We're patrolling the river because, we patrol the French half of the river, and then we patrol the Spanish half of the river. Why don't we just, while we're doing our patrols, we'll just stop on the island, upkeep it, make it maintain. We'll get back off the island, go. And then for the other half of the year, then Spain can come in, get on the island, maintain it, get on their boat back and go. And so that happened for, it was like almost 200 years at that point. And then now within like the last 20, 30 years, the Navy stopped taking care of it. And now it's left up to the city of Iran in Spain, and then the city of Indai in France. I know I don't pronounce French or Spanish very well, so they're the ones that. So the mayor will hire grounds crew. The mayor has like the city police that now get on like a little patrol boat, go over there, because in the treaty they have to see it every 5 days, so they touch down at least once a week to maintain it, mow it, trim the trees. Make sure everything's okay. But as of recently, because the erosion has gotten so bad, they have banned all public use of the island. So you used to be able to camp out there, you used to be able to do whatever you want there. But because the erosion has gotten so bad where the island's pretty much unstable at this point, they refuse to allow any public on there. In fact, France and Spain are in a dispute right now because they want the other one to contribute to maintain the island and build up defenses and kind of build the island up so the erosion will stop. But the other country doesn't want to pay. So they're like, you should pay, you should pay. So they're in a standstill at that point that, eventually Pheasant Island will go away. I mean, with relatively soon, maybe not in our lifetime, but in a lifetime next, because of the river is constantly shredding it and taking more and more of the island away. Until it started, until they noticed that the instability of it, they had a ceremony. It was changing the flags. It's called Meeting of Pheasant Island. And so both France and Spain would go and they would have this huge old ceremony and they would take down the Spanish flag or take down the French flag and they would hang up their own country's flag. And it was just like a changing of the hands ceremony. Now it's an email that gets sent to the other office saying, hey, we changed the flag today. Here's your flag, or come over here to pick up your flag and whatnot. It's like used to be a letter. They went from, to ceremony to a letter. Now it's to an email, where they just straight up to say, hey, we got your flag. Like, pick it up whenever.
That sucks.
We made it change. And so that's what, you know what I mean? It's really sad that, it's something that's so cool. And in fact, even through like World War II and World War I, and there's other wars and stuff like that. France and Spain actually met on Pheasant Island to like for conferences and to take care of, like stuff between the two countries. And so it was used, up until, just maybe a few years ago. It was very much alive and well on what they did with the island. And now it's just kind of like a, oh God, now it's like a parenting time where it's like, oh, now it's your turn. Like you take care of the kid. It's like, oh, nope, now it's your turn. Now you take care of the kid. And so, it's funny. There's, I guess, visitors from England that try to go there quite a bit and then they'll get stopped and detained, and thrown back and stuff like that. So it's odd. It's very odd. But yeah, there's not a whole lot to it. I believe that's everything that like I was able to get out of it. I literally like when I first thought like Pheasant Island was going to come about, like I thought it was going to be this major, huge, because it's been around for, 300 plus years. And in fact, you just had the Maine Treaty. You had King Louis XV trying to marry a daughter, but then wasn't allowed to. And then you had, a few conferences here and there. And then they stopped doing this, stopped doing that. They just don't really care about the island as much as they used to. But I just thought it was cool, learning about a condominium and then learning that an island or two countries can be so petty that they don't want to cross to the other country that they came up with. They put the table in the fucking middle. Like they refused to even step foot on the other country's
Yeah, it's
border.
funny.
And so it was just kind of a weird exchange of, and it's still, you know what I mean? They don't make it a huge ceremony, but they change the flags every 6 months and do that little border crossing.
Yeah,
So.
that's cool. I mean, some cool stuff happened there, and like, it's funny that like it's been this thing for so long, and it's kind of sad that it's kind of been lost, I guess, as far as traditions go, but. Still have their emails, but the most disrespectful form of communication.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, we got your shit.
Oh,
Come back, pick
thanks.
it
Great. Dang.
So, because it's so cool, because it was like a, the treaties. Like you would think that all the treaties from there on out would be it, but they're like, nah, like I don't know. It just sucked.
And it wouldn't be, granted, it would be expensive to fix like the erosion on the island, but like it wouldn't be so much of an expense that like they shouldn't do it for like a historical site, I
Yeah. Well, it's two countries' wealth. You know what I mean? They could
don't know.
come up with the money to plop up the border, build some, cement or something or bricks or even, building up dirt on it
It's
to
just more pettiness, dude. It just never stopped.
France and Spain. Just a bunch of petty assholes.
Damn.
Exactly what it is.
Cool.
But yeah, so I thought, and I'm glad that we were able to do another island. I'm hoping to keep the islands up. I have several in the bank. But I just didn't want to do them all back to back to back to back to back. So I wanted to kind of sprinkle them out through our pod and stuff like that. So
Right.
if you've made it this far, I am very thankful that you are. We'll have a link tree that's in our bio, and it will get you anywhere and everywhere. So if you saw this on, you know, iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and you want to watch it through a different medium, we're there. We're anywhere that you can possibly get a podcast. So if you found us through video the first time and you decided that, you know, you want to listen to us on the road, Apple, Spotify, anything and everything that you get, you know, Stitcher, whatever you get your podcast on, we're there. So go ahead and take advantage of that. We have a very well-established movie review podcast, or I don't even know what to call it anymore. I mean, we talk about movies. We just give our opinion on movies because we all know that you guys want to listen to that. So we give those opinions out. It's Rotten Brotatoes, and it's also on that link tree. So if you want to listen to that, and again, it's anywhere and everywhere that you listen to your podcast, whether you want to do it through video or through, you know, just listening, we're there everywhere. So no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
We have both of our Twitch streams on there. We have, you know, if you want to start your own podcast, you can do that. And you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card if you use our code. You can save money with Honey. So that's a Chrome browser extension, or I think it's actually any browser extension, where it'll automatically clip coupons and make sure that you're saving money wherever you're at. I think we got NortonLifeLock on there. So if you're looking at security for your new PC, you know, whatever, you sign up through that and it shows, you know, kind of helps the show out and, you know, make sure that y'all are taken care of. Am I missing anything, sir?
I think that about covers everything. That's pretty good.
Sweetness. I cannot wait to hear what you got in store for us next week there for us.
It'll be good.
All right. Y'all have a good one.